Let me welcome each and every one of you along to our time around the Word of God once again today. But thank you for joining with us and for logging on. This is our 10th week from we went into lockdown, and this is the first week that we're back in the church doing the recording. So, although I'm here on my own and just with the recording man, we're glad that you're with us and can join with us today. We're going to read together from God's Word, from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Amen. We'll end this reading here at verse 6. And we know that God will bless again this, the public reading of his own precious word. Now with the word of God open before us, we're going to unite our hearts in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing upon our coming together around the word of the Lord today. So let us pray. Heavenly Father and eternal Lord, we thank thee today for the great privilege that is ours of approaching unto thy throne of grace in the attitude of prayer. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ who draws us nigh. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit that works in our heart and draws us to Christ. And we pray today that thou, the Spirit of God, will take the things of Christ and apply them even over the internet to the hearts and lives of those who will tune in to hear the word of the living God. And we pray that the truth of God might impact hearts and lives for time and for God's eternity. Grant unto me the help of thy Spirit, fill me with thy power, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart find acceptance in thy sight. I ask this through Christ, our great Redeemer's name. Amen. Now, in our time around God's Word, I'd like to consider with you the words of John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6. Those well-known and familiar words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John's Gospel, chapter 14 to 16, the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples what has come to be known as the Paschal Discourse. It was his final word to them before the crucifixion. And I believe it helped to prepare them for his departure from them. And it would be hard, I believe, to find a more consoling, comforting passage of God's word for any Christian to read who has anxious hearts and worries about today and tomorrow. It commences with Christ's famous description of the Father's house in verse 1 to 3. Remember how he said to them, he was going on before them, and he was going to prepare for them a dwelling place. And the chapter starts off with those great words, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He was not going to leave them forever. And one day he promised that he would come again and take them unto himself. And he was going to return. And he was going to take them to the place of many mansions in heaven. And that's a wonderful consolation for all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's a day coming in which Christ is coming in the air or coming in the valley of the shadow of death to take us home to that place of many mansions. The Apostle John failed to understand, I believe, the significance of what Christ was saying to the disciples, because he, like the other disciples, he dreamed of a temporal kingdom, an earthly kingdom, in which there would be pomp and power and glory. And thus he asked the question of the Lord Jesus in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So, in setting before them the eternal happiness of heaven, the Lord Jesus, at the close of these opening 6 verses, he gave to them the directions to that place of many mansions. And in our text, John 14 and verse 6, I don't think there could be any clearer statement of gospel truth for us to consider or for us to ponder upon in our time around God's word. There is no richer gospel soil than the 6th verse of John 14. And I fear we shall do little more than scratch its surface, even in our consideration of it. Nevertheless, in so doing, I trust that we'll be able to make the way to the place of many mansions, the directions to it, plain and simple for all who are listening, and even for the youngest child that is listening in to understand. Not all, of course, in the world are as earnest as was Thomas in seeking the place to the many mansions. There are many in the world today, and they do not want to find the way to God. In fact, they're intent on going on the opposite way from God. They hate his word, they hate his ways, and they desire to flee from his presence. So we do live in a world in which many are not trying to find the way to the place of many mansions. And there are others, sadly, and they're heedless and careless to the things of God. The way to heaven is not in their normal thinking or in their thoughts. And they choose to neglect that way. And alas, at the end of life's journey, they shall find themselves lost. And instead of entering in at the gate of salvation, they will find that they're entering in to the gate of eternal damnation. But we're glad in the great goodness of God and in the grace of God that not all are willfully running away from God or heedlessly disregarding their eternal whereabouts. There are those, and they have been wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and they are anxious about the way to go to heaven and to the place of many mansions. And to such I address the words of my text today, John 14 and verse 6. The truth is applicable to all regardless, but there is guidance here for those who have eternity in view. There is hope here for those who desire to find that place of many mansions. And this is the verse in which we'll get the directions that Jesus gave to those disciples, how to find their way to that place of many mansions that he described to them in the opening verses. So let's consider them together. Let me suggest, firstly, that it is the way of reconciliation. Before Adam fell in the first transgression, he enjoyed a threefold relationship with God. That was in that pre-fall place called paradise. There he was in communion with his Creator. Each day, the Bible tells us that the Lord walked in the cool of the day in the garden, and he communed with Adam and with Eve. What a wonderful thing to be in a place where there's no sin, there's no barriers, and we commune one to the other as friend and friend with God. And he knew God. What knowledge did Adam have of divine things? By the wonderful power of natural creation, he could read the beauty and the glory of God. He also had the word of God, because God had given commandment to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he also had spiritual life. However, the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden changed his relationship with God and the relationship of his descendants with God forever. The reason why man cannot come to God today, as he did in the Garden of Eden, is that God is the same, but man has changed. God is still a righteous God, a holy God, a God whose law is inflexible, but man has changed. Man has fallen into sin. Instead of communion with God, there is alienation from God. Remember how Adam hid himself from the Lord in the Garden of Eden. In his sin, in his shame, he hid and he went away from God. And once he believed the devil's lie, he was no longer capable of knowing divine truth. You can't accept the devil's lie and accept the truth of God. And in the day he ate the forbidden fruit, the curse of breaking God's law was fulfilled and death entered into him. Not only physical death entered into him, but in that moment Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, he died spiritually, as we all died in him. But how wonderfully does the Lord Jesus Christ meet the need of Adam's fallen race? Though we were born in a state of sinful alienation from God, the Bible teaches us that Christ came into this world to be the way of reconciliation to God. Christ is the way back to God. It could not be any more personal. Jesus looked at Thomas, and Thomas was looking for some way to this temporal kingdom, but Jesus looked at that doubting apostle, and he said to him, he said, Thomas, I am the way. You're looking for other ways, but I am the way. He does not merely show us the way. He himself is the way. It is true to say, of course, that he teaches us the way. In Mark 12 and verse 14, we read these words, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of man, but teachest the way of God in truth. So Christ teaches us the way to God. It's also true to say that he guides us on the way. In Luke 1:79, we read, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the Bible teaches us that he has dedicated a new and a living way. And what is that new and living way? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us about it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. It says, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. All that he is as the one who teaches us the way, guides us on the way, and who has consecrated for us a new and living way is made possible because he himself is the way. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal saving manner, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you are, I can say categorically, you are not on the way to heaven, because without Christ, you are out of the way. That is the solemn reality of the teaching of the Bible. Remember the judgment of God upon Cain in the Old Testament scriptures. As part of that judgment, he was forced to wander as a lost fugitive all the days of his life. We read the curse upon him in Genesis 4 and verse 11. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Is that not a picture of all who have broken God's covenant and are under the curse of his law? We read in Romans 3 and 12, they are all gone out of the way. That is mankind, men and women. All of mankind have gone out of God's way. We are fugitives. We are vagabonds. But Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the one who can put you back on the way to God again. He is the way, I think, in a twofold sense. He is the way from God to man, and he is the way from man to God. The way from God to man is revealed in the incarnation, when Christ, the eternal Word, became one with us in our flesh without sin. That is the incarnation. But he is the way from man to God. And the way man finds his way back to God is through the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, all the blessings which come down from God to man are through him. That's the incarnation. And all those who find God from amongst fallen mankind do so through his crucifixion. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, and it's as Calvary's cross where we must begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. What an immeasurable gulf did God span at Calvary. And there on that middle cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was the bridge that brought together both God and man and united both God and man in his death and in his atoning work at the cross of Calvary. And see afresh the man of sorrows condemned to die. See him there nailed to that wood of the cross with outstretched arms as the dear Savior. Behold his pierced side that was wounded by the Roman spear from which flows the blood and the water. The way of access to God for man is by the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by the virtue of his death. It is through his mediatorial work that there is a way back to God for mankind from the dark paths of sin when we come as sinners to Jesus. And I want to say to you, if you bypass the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never find the way to God. You'll be that fugitive. You'll be that vagabond without an eternal home for all of God's eternity. But at Calvary, there was a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And if you come to that fountain filled with blood, you can be washed and made clean and made ready for heaven and for that place of many mansions. When Christ spoke these words, the cross and all of its cruelty was just a few hours away. But it's no less real all those over 2,000 years later. It has lost none of its power, and it will never lose its power. He is the only way of reconciliation. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It couldn't be any more clearer than that. You cannot come unto the Father than through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an exclusive way. Christianity has many exclusive claims, and this is one of the most profound. The way to God is not through organized denominational religion. It's not through allegiance to some world faith. It is through Christ and through him alone. And if you come just as you are to him today, you can be reconciled to God. Christ came all the way from heaven to earth and tabernacled amongst us and dwelt amongst us because we couldn't go to him. He came to us. And the Bible teaches us that he still is the only way to the Father. He's giving directions here to the place of many mansions. No man can come unto the Father but by me. But by me. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to perform some deeds of penance or good works. You just have to come as you are. Come with your sin, with your guilt, with your burdens, and you will find in God mercy. You will find in Christ pardon. You will find in the Holy Spirit renewing grace. It is Christ who says he is the way. And if you just come to him today, trust him, accept him, embrace him, you can be assured that you're on the way. If you're in Christ and you know Christ, you're on the way to heaven. He is the way. So if you're in him, you're on the way to that place of many mansions. But then secondly, as we look at these directions that Christ gave to us, we can say it is the way of revelation. That's very important. Jesus said, I am the truth. Man needs truth to set him free. Adam once knew the truth, but when he rejected the truth of God and he embraced the lie of Satan in the Garden of Eden, he fell. And we in him. And as his descendants, we lost the ability to know the truth. Because once he believed the lie of the devil, he had rejected the truth of God's revealed word to him. Since then, mankind has dwelt in spiritual darkness. Ephesians 4 and 17 tells us, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." It goes on to say, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." What a verse that is. Verse 18, their understanding darkened. That's you and I in our fallen, sinful, natural estate. We are alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them. We are ignorant of the things of God because of the blindness of our hearts. The truth that you need to set your soul free, it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in a system of philosophy. It's in the person of Christ, God's own dear Son. And to know Him is to know the truth that can set your soul free for all of the Lord's great eternity. Christ is the truth, the absolute truth, as opposed to the shadows and the types and the figures of the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus had already touched upon this subject in chapter 6, verse 32 to verse 35. Remember how he said, "I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." They said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You see, all of the types, the manna in the Old Testament, which was a type of Christ, was fulfilled in him and found fulfillment in him. And Jesus said, "If you come to me and you partake by faith of what I offer, then you will never hunger, because I am the bread of life." He is the truth as revealed in the New Testament scriptures. Christ is the truth as opposed to religious falsehood. He is the truth as opposed to error. The doctrine of Christ is true doctrine. When we inquire about truth, we need to learn no more than the truth that is in Jesus, Ephesians 4 and 21. So what is that which liberates the mind? Well, Jesus said in John 8, 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to present this truth once again in our own day and in our own generation. The truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth that He has come to be the way, the truth, and the life. He stands as the truth as opposed to all false religion. As truth is opposed to deceit, He is true to all those who trust in Him, because all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. No one ever trusted in Him and found Christ to break His word or His promises. The promise which He declared in the Word of God, the promises which is given to us in the Word of God, they are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus to the glory of God the Father. Remember those great words in John 6, 37? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And then Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." What a promise that is. What truth that is. Jesus said, if you come to Him, He will never cast you out. You cannot, nor will you ever find Christ, one who will break His word or His promise to those who put their faith and trust in Him. Pilate asked the question of Jesus at his trial, "What is truth?" Well, let the Savior answer all such who would put that question as Pilate put it. What is truth? Let Jesus be the answer today. Jesus said, I'm the truth. In him you'll find all the answers that your soul requireth. All that you need to know for the saving of your soul, he has revealed. And he has revealed it in the scriptures of truth. But thirdly, as we conclude and as we consider these directions of Christ to the Father, he is the way of regeneration, because he said, I am the life. This is the way of life as opposed to the way of death. The natural man is spiritually dead, dead in trespasses and in sins. He has no love for God, no heart love for God, no fear of the things of God, no concern for the glory of God. The natural man has self-interest and self-preservation as his number one priority. He's very much alive to the things of the world, the things of this age and this generation, the things that make this world tick and move and go on, but he is dead to the things of God. That is the solemn reality. I think this is pictured for us wonderfully and very vividly in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 24. We read, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This was the testimony of the prodigal's father. Oh, he so rejoiced in the prodigal son finding his way back home again. And to him the son was dead. In the far country he was dead, but now he'd returned home and is alive again. And it's a picture of all who are out of Christ. They are alive to the world. That young man was alive to the world. He spent everything that he had, everything that he had gained in his inheritance in the world. And the world loved him as long as he had plenty and plenty to bestow upon them. But he was dead unto God. Oh, I'm glad to be able to proclaim as a minister of the gospel that Jesus Christ can give you life. He can do so because he's the source of all life. In John 10, 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 11, verse 25, remember what he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Physical, spiritual, eternal life is all found in him. He is the source of all life. And he has come to give you that life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The life which he gives is new life. Now, what is meant by that? Well, in John 3, verse 7, Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. That's new life. When a sinner is born of God, God puts life from above into their soul. That's what the new life really is. That's what being born again means. This is his life. It's new life that he puts into the fallen sinner's heart to enable them to respond to the claims of Christ and to grow in grace. And if you do not have that new life of Christ within your soul, then you can never know the life that the redeemed of God will enjoy in the place of many mansions. What an offer does Christ make in the gospel? It is the promise of life. Here the life we have is only temporary. It's a few short years and then it is cut off and we fly away. But the life that Christ offers you in the gospel is life that is eternal. This life also speaks to us of communion with God. Dead souls cannot enter into communion with God, either here or in the Lord's great eternity. They need the life of Christ in their souls in order to enjoy communion with God. The way that Christ spoke of brings us to God. The truth that Christ spoke of makes men free. And the life that Christ spoke of enables men to have fellowship with God. Christ is the life and the truth as well as the way. So the meaning of the verse, the emphasis of the verse is, I am the way because I am the truth and the life. When the Savior reveals God's redemptive truth. He sets sinners free from the enslaving power of sin. And then he imparts divine life into their soul, which in turn produces fellowship with the Father. Salvation is all of him. Just like Jonah said in the belly of the whale, salvation is all of God from beginning right to its very end. Without Christ, there is no redemptive truth. There's no everlasting life. And as a result, no way to the Father and to his house of many mansions. I am glad that he not only came to show us the way, but he came to be the way to the Father's house. We often sing with the young people, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. If you have not come to Christ and made him your Lord and your Savior, you're not on the way to heaven. You're still on that broad road that leads to a lost sinner's hell. But he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And he's brought you in his great providence to hear this message. Wherever you're listening into it, he's brought you to hear this message that you might, by faith, put your feet on that road which will take you to that place of many mansions that Christ spoke of in John 14, verse 1 to 3. Will you start now? I urge you to do so. Will you give your heart and life to him? And will you start this moment for the place of many mansions? May you do so, and may God give you the enablement for his great name's sake. We're going to unite in prayer, and we're going to commit our time around the word of the Lord to God. Heavenly Father, we thank thee with grateful heart today that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank thee for that revelation to our hearts and to our lives. And we bless thee that through Christ we can enter in one day, either when he comes back for us or when he comes to take us through the valley of the shadow of death, into that house, that eternal home of many mansions. Bless the truth of God to those who have heard it and use it today to bring sinners to Christ and glory to God. For we pray this through Christ, our great Redeemer's name. Amen.